Well, this morning I'm going to be talking about how we survive, and the series is called Surviving the Summer. I wanted to make sure that I could give one of these away, there you go, and one of those over there. It's a large, so if it doesn't fit, pass it to the person next to you and make sure that happens. We're talking about how to survive. I know how to survive because that's a very important part. Surviving the hurts from others is today's particular message. And so we'll be talking about what that looks like and what that means. Now, every one of us has been hurt at some point in our lives. And it's interesting how you can remember those hurts and what you associate with those hurts. And it may be a person, it may be a time, it may be a place, maybe a situation that was a part of your life, but you can be able to remember that. And so every one of us has at some point in place received that. Now, what you did with those hurts becomes the important part. Scripture says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Now, you obviously know we're not exempt from troubles, right? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I was wondering if you're still out there. So we're not exempt. So he comforts us in all our troubles. So that's a pretty good indicator you're going to have troubles. You're not going to be exempt from them. Every one of us is going to have that. And so if we're going to have troubles, then what's the good that comes out of those? Interestingly enough, no one does a better job at helping us to work through those than somebody who has been through those. That's why Stephen Ministry is such a great ministry. They try to match up these people with people who have gone through hurts like they've gone through hurts. And then they meet with you 1 hour a week. They walk with you through the pain. They aren't counselors. They don't try to give you information or direct you. They just are listeners, and they've been trained to be listeners and to try to understand the pain that you're going through. Well, when they are troubled, we will be given to them the same comfort God has given us, which tells us God gives us comfort no matter what our trouble is. He doesn't take it away, but he gives us comfort no matter what we're facing. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Hurts are just the beginning of what happens in our lives. Since all of us experience hurts, all of us go through those, we have to understand that they are just the beginning process. And Scripture says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. These are hurts in varying degrees. These are all hurts in varying degrees. And so as we look at this, it becomes very important, and because we see very clearly, get rid of. Now, that's pretty easy to say, but how do we do that? If I've been hurt and I've gone through pain, then what do I do about that? How do I respond to that? And so there's an importance of understanding. First, hurts are focused on ourselves. So when I am hurt, what do I think about? Me. Because that's a natural response. You know, if I hurt my thumb, if I hammer my thumb, I don't just think, and start thinking about other people. I'm sure other people hurt right now. They've hurt their thumb. That doesn't go through my head. My head goes, I hurt my thumb. So I'm very centered on myself right at that moment because I feel the pain. We understand that hurts will brew into grudges when left untreated. So there's an importance of understanding that if you're hurt, and emotionally, somebody's hurt you physically or abuse or whatever the thing is, then that can turn into a grudge when you hold on to that. And so the more I think, I'm not going to let them hurt me again. That's not going to happen. And so what do we start doing? We start holding a grudge through the process. Now, there's an importance of realizing the hurts will morph into anger and bitterness as a result. So they're going to start turning into something that's worse, turning into something that is bigger. And so we have to be aware of the fact that when those hurts come, if we don't do something with them, they're going to keep developing into all that was listed there in that passage in Ephesians. Hurts will affect our mental, our physical, and our spiritual health. They're going to affect our mental, our physical, and our spiritual health. It's interesting. You would think that what happens in our minds couldn't really make physical symptoms, but it does. And so, like we might say, but like what you're experiencing, the kind of things that you're experiencing are a result of what you're thinking. And then people would say, oh, you think it's all in my head. I don't really have a sickness. No, we're not saying that at all. You do have a sickness. But what's happening in your head is actually impacting your body. You see, here's the thing that you've got to remember. God designed us. He created us. He knows everything about you and how you operate and how you function. And so he gave you a guidebook to be able to have maximum in your life. The guidebook is the Bible. If you follow it, you're going to find maximum in life. If you don't, you're not going to break the commandments. They're going to break you because you weren't willing to follow what was listed as the commandments. You weren't willing to fully embrace those and make sure those were a part of your life. So what you have to understand is your actual thought process impacts your physical body, your mental health, as well as your spiritual. I think you'll find this fascinating as we look through this. A lack of forgiveness. There's a video that needs to come right at that point. I'm sorry. Could you just put that on right there?
Did you know that unforgiveness can actually make you sick? It's classified as a disease in medical books. Now, forgiveness therapy is being used to help treat diseases like cancer. Dr. Stephen Standiford, a cancer surgeon, says unforgiveness makes people sick and keeps them sick.
It's important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they really can hinder someone's reactions to the treatments, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment.
Of all cancer patients, 61% have forgiveness issues, and of those, more than half are severe. That's according to research by Dr. Michael Berry, a pastor and the author of the book, The Forgiveness Project.
These negative emotions, this anger and hatred, creates a state of chronic anxiety. Chronic anxiety very predictably produces adrenaline and cortisol, which deplete the production of natural killer cells, which is your body's foot soldier in the fight against cancer. When a person forgives from the heart, which of course is the gold standard that we use in Matthew 18, forgiveness from the heart, we find that they're able to find a sense of peacefulness. Quite often our patients refer to that as a feeling of lightness. Lori, we don't realize what a burden anger and hatred is until we let it go.
And the first step in forgiveness therapy is recognizing forgiveness is not the same thing as condoning what a person did, which is the major hurdle for most patients.
There you go. Interesting that they're actually treating cancer with forgiveness therapy. Now, it's so clear that when we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, the damage that it does spiritually, mentally, and physically. Here's some things that also are a part, and I think they're so important I included them in your outline rather than just reading them. Physically, the body is in a state of stress. Muscles, this is when you have unforgiveness. Muscles tighten, cause an imbalance or pain in the neck, back, and limbs. Blood flow to the joints is restricted, making it more difficult for the blood to remove waste from the tissues and reducing the supply of oxygen and nutrients to the cells. Normal processes of repair and recovery from injury or arthritis are impaired. Clenching of the jaws contributes to problems with teeth and jaw joints. Headaches can become a problem. Chronic pain may get worse. Blood flow to the heart is constricted. Digestion is impaired. Breathing may become more difficult. Anger can seriously impair the immune system, increasing the risk of infections and illness. Luskin cites several studies that show how anger can affect the cardiovascular system by adding to a person's general level of stress. Other studies have indicated that patients who have had heart attacks have been able to improve their physical health by practicing forgiveness and working to feel more tolerant and less angry. Additionally, Dr. Luskin says that when the body releases certain enzymes during anger and stress, cholesterol and blood pressure levels go up, not a good long-term position to put the body in. Forgiveness has been shown to lower blood pressure naturally. The bottom line, we can eat healthy and take care of ourselves on a physical level, but if our hearts are filled with anger, our bodies are not in optimum health. Like, can you just go, wow. Yeah, oh, that's a really weak wow. Go ahead, do it again. Wow. Yeah, how about that? Now, if all of that stuff is a part of just what's happening in our head, you think about our bodies and how they're impacted. In every one of those levels, what's taking place up here is impacting what's happening here. Because God designed us and he wired us in certain ways, and he did not wire us to carry anger, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. He did not equip us. You are not equipped to have that. And that's why when he says that we need to forgive, and he's so insistent on forgiveness, that if we don't, he's saying, look, you're going to ruin your health. You're going to ruin your spirit. You're going to ruin your mind. Don't do this. So there's a great importance of understanding that God, the way God created us to have maximum health is really to live by his word. And that's such an important part for every one of us. So when you are hurt, what do? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. One, don't ignore the hurt and say, that didn't hurt. How many times do people ignore, I'm not hurt. No, that didn't bother me at all. No, it's fine. But then they play it over and over and over in their heads, and they are hurt. So don't ignore the fact if you're hurt. If you're hurt, it's okay to say, well, yeah, that did hurt me. Yeah. I was hurt by that comment. I was hurt by that action. I was hurt by the way that was said. Yeah, that didn't need to be. So don't. So I remained utterly silent. The psalmist says, not even saying anything good, but my anguish increased. So when we remain silent and hold it in, what happens? Our anguish increases, our anxiety, our worry, our tension. It continues to increase inside of us. So don't run from the hurt and seek escape. What do people try to do? They try to find ways to get around it, whether they self-medicate with alcohol or drugs or whatever. They try to figure out ways. Maybe it's work, any of the aholic things that they would do, whether it's workaholic or alcoholic or chocolateaholic. No, that doesn't count. anything that they would try to do in excess to self-medicate is where it happens. And so that's what people have to say. The psalmist says this, and I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away and be at rest. Just get me out of here. I can't handle this anymore. That's not an answer. You can't run from your problems. You have to deal with them. And so don't hide it. As if it didn't happen. A helpful quote, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. That's pretty good, right? Okay, say it with me. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Yeah, you have to make sure that you're not going to hide it. You're not going to ignore it. you're going to own it. You're going to say, okay, yes. Because here's what we got to do. We got to deal with what our feelings are. We got to deal with what's happening inside of us. And if we don't, we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. And so if you're bitter and angry at somebody else for what they've done and you hold on to that, you're going to continue to feel that overwhelming thing. And so there's a great importance. The story was told about a man who went to the Vietnam Memorial, and he was looking at all that, and somebody else was talking to him. And as they were talking, they said, you know, were you a part of that? And he kind of described, yes, he was, that I was a prisoner of war. He said, how do you feel about that? He said, I'm still bitter and angry. He said, oh, you're still in prison. The fact is, you're going to be in prison if you continue to be bitter and angry. You're only hurting yourself. You're not going to hurt the perpetrator or the person, the abuser. You're not going to hurt them by being bitter and angry. It's going to hurt you. Being bitter at someone, as they always say, is like drinking poison and expecting them to die. It's not going to happen. It's you that are going to die. It's going to kill you. So you've got to be more intentional about how you deal with it and what comes. So the scripture says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So the importance of confessing, talking about your feelings, talking about what's the pain that you feel and what's a part of your life. And when you're feeling angry, you've been hurt, you need to make sure that you're going to talk about it and respond. Don't resent it. You can, if you do, once again, you're the one who's going to feel the impact. You're the one who's going to be hurt as a result of it. You may tear out your hair in anger, but will that destroy the earth? Will it make the rocks tremble? No, this Job said. So there's an importance of understanding, no matter what you feel, it's not going to impact anything else. It's just going to hurt you. So you've got to make sure. Hurts need to be forgiven. Hurts need to be forgiven. You can't hold on to them. Admit them. Make sure you recognize them. Make sure you own them. Make sure you confess them. But they need to be forgiven. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. So, it's not your job to pay them back. It's not your job to get back at them. It's God's. And so, I have to just say, God, you've got this. Not me. You've got this, and I have to trust you with it. The fact is, don't take the hurt into your own hands. Don't take it into your own hands. You're not big enough to deal with it. It's only going to impact you. You're not big enough to deal with it. You can't take this hurt into your own hands. Scripture says, never pay back evil with more evil. It's only going to produce more. It's only going to increase. It's only going to get greater. It's not going to get lessened at all. Be honorable in how you handle your hurts. Be honorable in how you handle your hurts. How do I deal with that? How should I respond to that? How should I make sure I'm going to deal in my life with the hurts that have been there? Make sure that you're looking at that. The scripture said everyone can see that you are honorable in how you respond to it. And so I need to make sure that I'm willing to acknowledge it, willing to deal with it. If you've been hurt by someone that you can no longer talk with, you can no longer go to, or sometimes going to a person is actually going to hurt more than actually help, you have to work through this process to decide what is the very best decision and what's the very best process to handle. But ultimately, within yourself, you have to make sure that you're going to commit that and surrender that hurt and let go of that. Take steps to peace in the circumstances. So what does it mean? There's an importance of making sure I'm going to take those. The scripture says, live in peace with everyone. So I'm going to have to do the very best that I can to take those steps to peace. And so what does that mean? It may mean going to the person. It may mean talking with them. It may be just praying for them. You know, sometimes you just need to pray for people who have hurt you. And you don't have to pray, God, get them good. That's just not going to help you a whole lot. But actually pray that God will bless them. Pray that God will bless them, because you just want him to be able to be released. And so you're not holding it and trying to minister the revenge through God and say, okay, here's what you need to do. You're letting God take care of this. Don't take revenge. Let God handle it. So I'm saying, Lord, I'm just trusting you, and I'm going to pray a blessing on them, because that's the way I can be most free and to let go and to release. And so start working through that process and that journey, because never take revenge is such an important part as we go through hurts. Francis Bacon says, in taking revenge, a man is but even with his enemy, but in passing it over, he is superior. You can't put yourself at the same level of those who have hurt you and what has been a part. Some bullet ideas that are a part. Be tolerant of others. Treat others like you would want to be treated, even when they've hurt you. Be polite with your interactions. So make sure that you're trying to make sure you're demonstrating. Treat others with respect at all times. And you may say, I don't feel like any of those things. And I get that, but act on it anyway, and the feelings will come later. You say, I feel like a hypocrite. Well, that's okay. Ignore feelings, because feelings are going to be the thing that are very fickle, and you're not going to be able to control those, but you can control your actions. So start doing the things that need to bring resolve in that. Avoid criticizing others, because it just brews that bitterness and that anger that's going to be a part of that. Don't jump to conclusions, because that's always going to end us in danger as we would try to think through that. Give others the benefit of the doubt as a matter of routine. So I'm just going to have to start releasing things and letting God deal with this. Let God work through this. Be willing to overlook minor offenses, so things that happen that are a part of that, and have a positive attitude. Instead of always looking for the negative, say, what can I see that could be positive in this whole situation that can help me? Be willing to apologize when you own your own part of this. Make sure that that's a part. Take the steps necessary to move on. You know, one of the really great and important things that you need to keep focused on is to get over it. Right? I mean, you can carry it for the rest of your life if you want to, but it's going to destroy you. Or you can say, I'm going to get over it. I do not want to live the way that I have lived. I want to make sure I can go beyond that. And so whatever it is, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. Yes. Great importance in understanding that. First, let go of the anger. You have to take a conscious effort and process of saying, I am going to let go of this. Now, you may need to let go of this many times. So just because you've done it doesn't mean it's over. So don't think you're less spiritual than someone else because they seem to be able to deal with this and move on, and you can't. We're all wired differently, and our personality is different, our thought process and everything about it is different. So let go of it. And every time you're tempted to hold on to it, realize that's a temptation. How do I resist a temptation? And so by not thinking about it, by changing my mind, by making sure I'm going to let go and do it again. Sometimes it's helpful for physical things to be a reminder. If there's somebody you need to forgive that's really serious, you might write it down on a piece of paper and you might put it someplace that's beyond you. And every time you come back, That comes back to you again. Pick it up and say, Lord, no, I'm giving it to you, and I'm not going to hold on to it. And then let go of it. Like, you may have to go and pick that up a bunch of times in the same day. But let me tell you this. The more you practice it, the better it gets. And so you keep letting go until you feel released inside. And that's what you have to keep doing. So making sure every time it comes to you, say, I'm not going to carry this. I'm not going to hold this. I'm going to let it go. Now that becomes a discipline in your thought process. Now, so there's a great importance of understanding what that means and how to do that. Worry is just the reverse. You've learned to think on something over and over and over. That's called worry. Now, meditate is the opposite of worry. Meditate means think on something good over and over and over. And that's how you change the way you think. So you need to make sure that you're doing that. Stop victimizing yourself. I've had it so hard. No one understands what I've been through. And you feel the victim, and you keep victimizing yourself, feeling sorry for yourself. I can't even begin to imagine the abuse that some of you have experienced in your life. I can't even begin. I've been very fortunate in that sense that I have not had that. But I can tell you this. You have to make a choice to get over it. Otherwise, it's going to kill you. And so what you have to do is you have to stop victimizing yourself. You have to stop saying, oh, woe is me. You're going to have to say, I'm going to let go of this. I'm not going to keep staying in that stage. You guard your thoughts and start focusing on your future. Just because someone has hurt you so bad in your past, you don't have to let them ruin your future. If they've already ruined your past, don't let them ruin your future. You're giving them control of your whole life. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give them control over my whole life. It's bad enough that the hurt that has been a part of my past is there. Why do I have to let them ruin my whole life for me? No, I'm making a choice. I'm not going to do that. Avoid negative self-talk, which is, I could never do that. I'm no good. I'll never be able to do anything right. I mean, all those kinds of negative self-talk that you keep playing those tapes over and over. Maybe you heard them taught to you when you were growing up. Maybe you had somebody who kept throwing those at you all the time. Whatever it is, avoid that negative self-talk. Remember, you've got to change your focus, change the way you think, so it's not going to continue to be there. Take the step to express your forgiveness despite your feelings. See? Ignore these. Take the step to express your forgiveness. Forgive whoever, whatever. Maybe you just need to say it out loud. Maybe you can't talk to the person. I don't know what the circumstances are. Maybe they're dead. Maybe you can't talk to them at all. It would be impossible even if you could. Sometimes going to the grave and tell them, I forgive you, helps. There's just different ways that we can be able to find to express your forgiveness, so it's not something you're going to continue to carry. You can't do that. Relearn trust. And I just tell you, you've heard me say it often enough, that just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you trust them. Two different things, forgiveness and trust. Forgiveness, don't confuse forgiveness with trust. Forgiveness is an act of your will, where trust is a feeling of safety that will need to be built. So do the will part, act according to your will, make the choice, and make sure you're willing to trust. Are willing to forgive. Then build trust as you are able to. That means I'm going to forgive, but I'm going to put up boundaries. And so, I'm sorry, I'm forgiving you, but I'm not letting you hurt me again. I'm putting up boundaries that are there. And as we talked about before, Scripture is full of boundaries. God tells us we need to establish those. I mean, it gives us clear boundaries. I talked last night about Titus when he says, warn a divisive person once and warn them twice. After that, have nothing to do with them. What is that? That's a clear boundary of Scripture. They're all the way through Scripture of boundaries of how we should be able to do that. And so you don't lower the boundaries until the trust is built. And so when you lower it, and if they violate it, you put them back up again. You continue coming down so you can build trust. Some people you probably may never trust again, and that's okay. That's okay. You know, if your father abused you, then how would you ever leave your children with your father? Reality, I just could never trust that. So I would always have a boundary in place. But I'm telling you, if you've been abused, you still need to forgive. It still has to happen because that's going to be a part of how your whole process of learning and then relearn trust. Forgive others whether they ask you or not. You don't have to wait for them to say, but they never asked me to forgive them. They may never. That doesn't matter. You forgive them anyway. You don't hold on to it. Otherwise, it's going to hurt you. It's not hurting them, but it's going to hurt you. So you forgive them anyway and be reasonable in your expectations on yourself, which means don't expect yourself to be over this quickly. It took you a while to get into it. It'll take you a while to get out of it. You don't just get out of things, but you're on the journey of health. You're on the journey of healing because you're making choices and decisions. Expect it to take time. Anytime, and the more deeply you've been hurt, or the more deeply the violation that has happened in your world, then the longer it takes to recover. And that's okay. You're on the process of healing. You're on the process of growing, of learning, of developing. That's an important part. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. There's a great importance of understanding that God wants to forgive us and he wants you to forgive others in that process. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I am going to ask everybody if you'd kind of put your hands out and maybe you can think of someone that hurt you that you've not been able to forgive yet. You've not let go of it, but it's there deep inside. And I want to pray a prayer that will say, as I'm praying, if you just turn your hands over and let go of it, that's the beginning of the step. And I would encourage you, even when you pray for this person, you pray with your hands down, not holding on to anything, letting go, okay? Father, we come before you right now. I can't even begin to imagine the hurt that's been experienced by some of those that are a part of this fellowship today. There are those who have been wounded deeply. They've been abused. They've been put down. They've been hurt so tremendously, they don't even know how to see their way through. But thank you, Father, that you have healing and release for us. Whatever it is we're facing, whatever we're dealing with, you can be able to help us to find that release. Father, right now, we just turn our hands over and let go. It's the beginning of understanding how you want to bring healing to us. Help us to let go, not holding on to anything. Whatever the hurt is, whatever the pain is, we've just released it to you, trusting you, Father, for what you're going to do in the future. Keep us close to your heart. Teach us day after day how to let go of our feelings and just continue to believe and trust. We're grateful, Father, that you've started us on the pathway of healing. Continue to help us to seek all that we can as we would grow and learn from you. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you and continue to bring that kind of healing.